I am on the road, but you know that. Comics can call it tours all they want. We're out here. We're always out here. I'm on the road this weekend. I'm in Albany. Four shows, Friday and Saturday, July 31st and August 1st. I'm going to be at the Albany Funny Bone, bringing Brendan Sagalow with me. So we're just going to have a hoot and a holler. Please join us. DanceOrder.com for tickets. And then in August, I'm going to be at the Port in Baltimore. I think all those shows are sold out. But again, DanSoder.com. I'm going to be in Baltimore August 13th through the 14th. And then Spokane, Washington. I'm coming out west to your beautiful town of filled with homeless Rambos. I'm excited to come out to Spokane, Washington, August 20th through August 22nd. It truly is an awesome club. And I feel like last time I was there, it wasn't that long ago. So I'm glad to be back. DanSoder.com for all tickets. Go to DanSoder.com for tickets. Do not Google it. Do not, okay? Because how many times I have to respond to people that go like, you're charging $700 a ticket for your show? No, that's crazy. DanSoder.com. Buy tickets from the actual vendor, not these second sites. Okay?
Did she actually run?
No, that was... So we are recording right now. That was from upstate New York. There was a person running for local government with the same name as Katie.
Hilarious.
You know, jokingly, Shane calls her Kathy a lot as like a little rib.
Yeah.
And we were driving to the place we stay that we like to go away to up in the Catskills.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I, you know, I'm a delinquent as you were as a teenager.
Yes.
So stealing street signs is like old hat.
Well, you got to take one.
You have to.
My friends, there's a politician in Canada. He lost, but he was GK.
You need that.
It was like GK with a Canada flag on it.
You need that.
And they stole that from me, and I have a handkerchief that says GK, GK, GK.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And that was, so what happened was, because she, you know, she's a grown woman now. She was like, I can't let my fiance pull the car over to steal a street sign.
Yeah.
And I went, absolutely, totally get what you mean.
Yeah.
And then like later in the week, we needed groceries, and I was like, oh, let's go pick up some groceries.
Yeah.
And then I came back, and I put that in the lawn of the house we were staying at, and she came out, she's like, you got it! Yeah. I was like, ah. I definitely grabbed it. That's and nice. I did the thing where I was like, no one's coming.
Yeah.
And pulled to the side of the road and then yanked it out. But good news is Kathy Nolan won.
Yeah.
So we didn't affect it.
Yeah. And she is a fascist. So
we had to look her up.
Yeah.
And they are a they.
Okay.
So that way we went, all right. Very progressive.
Okay. We're okay.
So progressive that they would probably be mad that we stole the sign.
It looked like a hate crime.
Yeah. That's exactly
and
there
you
we
look
go.
Like just the guy to do
oh,
it.
Oh, they go, take it away.
Yeah.
No, they, them's up in my mountain town.
Yeah.
No, I.
Equal rights is bad for me.
Yeah. But I got the sign. That was the very fun reveal.
Yeah.
Was her like going to make a coffee and being like, where did you get that? And you're like, ooh, was I a little stinker?
Did you get a little kiss?
I did. I got a little kiss. I said, give me some sugar.
Yeah.
It's good to see you again.
So you have a Jewish guy's hair?
Oh, yeah. I was saying when you get a hair transplant, the doctor tells you that the texture changes, which is funny. You know, I have a long bit in it about in my upcoming special about getting a hair transplant. But I will say, for those of you at home, when you are wondering if a celebrity has hair tits, look to the hairline and look to the texture of the hair.
Yeah.
Because if they have different texture hair, they probably have had a hair transplant.
Yeah. You do.
Guys, we know that it happened, and I go, oh, your hair is a lot different. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. And you're like,
guess I'm getting older.
Guess it changes.
Guess I have also Matthew McConaughey's texture.
Remember
it's
when
like
he did
wavy
that?
Now.
Yeah, but you know when he said he didn't get a hair transplant?
No.
Because if you look back, he's like balding. And then he did like the Matthew McConaughey thing where he's like, actually what happened is I put some berries and some juices.
Yeah.
And you go, no, you didn't. You got a FUT.
It's
called an FUT procedure where they take hair from the back of your head and put it on the top of your head.
But they were eating berries.
He goes, but it was berries. It was the berries of surgery.
My Matthew McConaughey is not as...
I'm not good at it. He's kind of got the whiff. You got to get the whiz. He does.
The surgeon, the Jewish surgeon, was eating berries. See, probably within the same week he did
his,
it.
With yeah. his. You try yeah. to get the light whiz. So. Like the gopher in Winnie the Pooh who speaks like that. Or the old pervert in Family Guy.
Yeah, that's it.
Strong arm.
Yeah.
Got any good strong news arm, muscle, for me today?
Muscle strong arm, no. paper boy.
So you got some berries? It's very fun.
It's the last thing Matthew McConaughey saw before the drugs took over yeah. and he passed out.
He goes, so I'll be taking care of your scalp.
Zip.
Zip you open.
Wait a second.
Hey. Dude, I watched Pete and Me. Awesome.
Wow, thanks, man.
It's great. Check it out. It's on YouTube right now. We'll put the link right now.
I was telling Homeless Pimp because he watched it too because he's a good guy. I'm like blown away. Anytime in the anybody in the comedy scene takes time to watch a special, it's like...
Yeah, we've watched enough comedy.
It's like, wow, you watched it.
But that's so let me nice. Tell you right now, yeah. great. Love it.
Thanks,
man. Love how you did the scenes with Pete, including him as his intro, including the videos... where he calls himself Gaston was very funny.
Yeah, he's yeah.
Like, I'm not Gaston.
I don't want to be Gaston if I date a woman.
yeah. yeah. And you're like, absolutely. Wonderful explanation. I thought you did a really good job of explaining autism in a way of like, there's no superpowers. There are people that don't show signs because what I mean by that is the Gaston clip. I would look at your brother and I go, Peter's not that autistic. Just in the way he's talking to you.
Yeah.
He looks very like conversational and he's like, he's sitting there with his arm like, I don't want to be Gaston. And if you walked into a room and saw you two talking, I'd have no idea.
Really? That always shocks me.
Because my favorite joke, you know, one of my favorite jokes is where you're like, he used to have a disability. And now it's like, there are people who have regular lives or whatever. He goes, so now my brother has a thing that if you leave him alone for 4 to 6 days, he'll die.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but you don't understand in those 4 days, you would assume he drinks beer. He likes steak, loves huge tits.
Yeah.
This guy rules.
Yeah.
Loves toys and cartoons. I'm going, what's up, Pete? Were we hanging?
Yeah.
But you do a great job.
Yeah.
You do a great job of the special, including the fact of like, well, my parents are incredible and have had this patience and got him an apartment.
Yeah. I try and highlight how great my parents are.
But yeah, of course, you do a good job of it.
They only took away me making fun of them.
Really?
Yeah, that's all they took away. And
that's what's interesting to me about that is someone that does jokes about his family.
Yeah.
You have to prep them.
Well, because last time I did a special, I had a joke about how my parents are like another joke about how my parents fight a lot, and my dad can't say I love you.
Yeah,
and
you put a version of that joke in Pete and Me,
and he wouldn't talk to me.
I'm not going to lie, though. That is par for the course on a dad that won't say I love you. I'm not acting like your dad's pulling anything new out of his ass. No. Your dad's. I hate to take your dad's side on this. He's consistent.
He is.
He's going like, you know who I am. Yeah. Why would you say that publicly?
One of the things you're not missing out in having a dead dad.
Oh, I've been going through a lot of that recently.
When you achieve something and you're proud of it and you show it to them and then they make you apologize to them.
Yeah. So I you know what I
Instead
mean?
Instead of saying congratulations. Twice, two specials in a row.
People who lost parents young will tell you that there's a moment in their 40s, and this isn't for everybody, but there are a lot of people that I've talked to about this that had similar, like lost their parents before the age of 15 or 18 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You hit your 40s and you look at your friends and you go, kind of fucking glad. Mm-hmm. Because I made fun of Lewis on the regs about it. Like his dad would want money. My dad would want money.
Yeah.
I've been saying this to Katie a lot recently. I go, dude, if my dad is still alive, very small chance I like him. Very small chance that I'm like, oh, you know who rocks? Gary.
Yeah.
It'd be more of a thing where he'd be calling me and I'd go, he's fucking calling me again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to pick this up. But
I mean, I had a tough beat.
Yeah.
Danny boy, I had a tough beat.
Oh, Danny, buddy.
I'm in Sarasota.
If you honestly, Yeah. You would make my yeah. life if you could give me this. Can you wire the casino?
Yes.
$5,000 to get me out of this hole.
And again, not my fault, of course.
It's the dealers. They're Asian. They count so fast. And you go, Dad, that's not an excuse.
They can see better at night. Did you know that? And you
go, they must eat carrots. I think that's why there's always carrots in banh mi sandwiches. But so my question to you is, what's fun about watching a special and knowing you is like something I don't get to ask other comedians that I watch their specials. Mm-hmm. Your first 10 minutes is about, or for first 5 minutes is about how you want kids, but you live alone. And you're almost a gay man because of how Olivia. And then now you're married with a baby.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you got what you wanted. I'm going to open my next special by being like, millions of dollars in a giant acreage of land where I can go escape with a fresh water well.
Uh-huh.
I'll never have that. When you like go back and watch that, that's got to be fun to be like, guess what, buddy?
Well, when I recorded it, I knew that she was pregnant.
Oh.
I found out. So I worked on making that special for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I got the off-Broadway run there at Soho Playhouse. And the second show of 25, I found out. And the first line is like, I'm never going to have kids. And then I just couldn't figure out how to incorporate that.
Yeah, because you can't go.
Because the whole conceit is that Pete will always be there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, I'm never going to have kids.
Yeah.
But what I didn't know is that my 42-year-old girlfriend could get pregnant.
Fun.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2026, dog.
Yeah.
42 is the new 30.
She's in great health, great shape.
Baby's doing good.
Turns out if you get your... baby's doing great. Baby's doing great. She's doing well. Turns out if you get your... She's like played sports, so she got her... Like when she was a teenager, she got her period late.
Oh,
and I didn't know that. Gymnast? It shifts everything later.
Oh, yeah.
Field hockey. Also, straight.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's like getting a catcher in softball.
Yeah.
I got a softball player.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's, dude. Look at us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our women should be together.
Yeah.
We should be together. Do you... The four pals. The four pals. The baby... In the special, you bring up your chances of autism.
Yeah.
When do you find out?
I mean, it's kind of like until he's two, but...
Is it something you make a big point of it in the special.
Yeah.
Is it something you're worried about still?
Well, we're going to give him up for adoption. His first son. Yeah.
I was half a sip closer from blowing that shit all over your face. You know how close? You almost just got to get taking a face of coffee.
He's like...
Yeah.
Can you count to three?
How fast?
Yeah. He's like 6 months old. 1, 2, 3.
She's filling out the paperwork.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes, listen, I got a hot ticket.
You tracking this?
Put him out. Yeah. Put him out.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly just, for some way, I'm not worried about it. And she is not worried about it. She hasn't said anything. She's just really.
You haven't talked about it?
We've talked about it. We talked about before it happened.
Don't lie. Don't tell me. Oh, mom and it's like, oh, mom and dad aren't mad at each other. We just have to live in different places. You go.
No, we're always mad at each other. Yeah. I will admit that.
Yeah. And then you grow up and you go, yeah, it's the opposite of it. But I feel like if you have a fear of, because you said of your genetic chances of autism, if you had a baby with a woman in her 40s, you would go like, hey, are you freaking the fuck out about this? Because I'm freaking the fuck out.
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely been he's making all the markers. That's great. We're both looking for it. Yeah. You know, we'd had a chat about it even before we got pregnant because we just started dating. And I was like, hey, I kind of want to have a kid. And she's like, well, I'd be down, but we'll see. I don't know. And then and I was like, there's a higher chance of autism. And she was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about that.
And again, watch the special and you'd understand this question. Was that relieving after being with someone that was like, I can't do that. I can't risk.
She's such it was a huge relief. She's and look, it's not like I was forcing every second date I had. I was like, do you want to have a kid with me? Do you want to have an autistic child with me?
That would almost seem like she'd be
I'm
like,
a comedian.
Are you sure you're not autistic? Yeah, in your second date, you go, I have to be very upfront with you. The chances of autism in our child are skyrocketing. Yeah.
And also, money will be up and down.
Yeah. It will be an emotional roller coaster. Mm. We might have a special needs child. Are you on board?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. I didn't even get to look at appetizers yet.
And then I would just walk out.
Yeah,
I would flip a table and walk out and say, shut up, you stupid woman.
Can I say either way it goes, and, you know, I hope your baby's great and all, everything's on the up and up. Pete's going to be an awesome uncle.
He's so good. I mean, one of, like, the highlights of my life was when Billy was born. We Pete came down with my parents.
He did?
And I gave, you know... He like held him. He's like, I'm the uncle, Peter Parker Spider. I'm like, this is your uncle Peter. And he goes, Peter Parker Spider Man, and then takes the baby.
Yeah, hell yeah, Pete.
Idiot.
Yeah, you like, stupid idiot. Yeah. And maybe he'll want to do Bert and Ernie with me.
Yeah.
Unlike you getting flamed out.
Yeah.
Did you worry about? We'll come back to him being an uncle. Yeah. But did you worry about when you said like, hey, Bert and Ernie is a fun. So he explains in the special his brother who is autistic would call him and do a perfect.
Yes.
Or do a perfect Ernie.
He's like you. He's got the same skills.
Yeah.
Same impression skills.
We're 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
Honestly, fetal alcohol syndrome and autism, they live in the same realm. But he does such a good Bert that I was like, or Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bert. Yeah, because he goes, hey, Bert.
Yeah.
Would you worry? You know, you're worried about your dad being mad about seeing that joke. Mm-hmm. Were you worried that Pete was going to see that joke and be like, "Oh, you fucking hate doing Bert and Ernie with me"?
So, not about that. So, I opened for Nate in Ottawa recently, in front of 18,000 people. My parents, Peter, came. We're
the Senators play.
We're the Senators
favorite
play.
Team.
It was insane. And I found out where they were seated, kind of like in the lower bowl. And I did a couple jokes about, so just let the audience know that I have a brother with autism. And I, at the end I go, guys, my brother's here, stand up, Pete. And he stood up and there's 18,000 people. And I go, cheer for Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Everyone say, go Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And he stood up and he went,
That's the best. That's the best.
18,000 people, and there's a picture that Noah, Nate's camera guy, took. It's like incredible. I didn't have to tell him it was going to happen. He just got it, and he's like this. It's on my Instagram.
Oh my god, I'm gonna go look at that. Yeah. We'll put it right here. Yeah, we can edit it right here. What a cool moment for him.
It ruled, dude. It was the best.
Did he say anything about that to you?
So I do. The point why I brought it up is because one of the jokes I told was that one of the annoying things he does is when I don't have to worry. You know, I'm glad I have a brother with autism because I don't have to worry about going home for the holidays and arguing about politics.
Yeah.
When I go home. Thing that he does that annoys me is he makes me watch back-to-back episodes of the Power Rangers.
And you said they didn't age well.
Yeah.
All that, which, by the way,
again,
pro Pete point.
Yeah, who cares?
Sitting around ripping beers, watching the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Sign me up, bro. I'll bring the steaks. Also, I'm going to bring you some Spider-Man action figures.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah,
I might have to go to Ottawa and hang with Pete for an afternoon.
Dude,
I've come off the wagon for Pete.
You just bring some NAs. He won't know what that means.
Oh, yeah. I can bring a six-pack of Heineken NAs.
He won't know.
And he's like,
and he also won't care.
Yeah, he goes, great.
If you just bring a couple Diet Cokes,
he'd
be like, give me one of them Diet Cokes.
Well, yeah, there you go. Like, I'm going to put on the movie, Power Ranger movie. And he's like, well, let's go.
So I go backstage and... I'm like, Pete, how was that? You know?
Yeah.
All the people.
You just got an 18,000 person standing ovation.
And he goes, you shouldn't have said that about the Power Rangers. It's a fine program. It's a very good show.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, you should not have said that about the Power Rangers.
That's correct.
It's like, well.
All right, can't win them all, I guess. Yep. Thank you, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with him as an uncle, did he immediately took to it?
Yeah, he took to it. He knows how to hold the baby. He wants to see him on FaceTime and stuff. And
that's awesome.
It rules. He's always never asks questions, but he asks questions about Molly, and he asks questions. He always asks, "How's Molly?" and "How's William?" And I want to call him Billy.
Sure.
Molly doesn't want to call him Billy because she says that sounds like an alcoholic, and
she's not completely wrong. William is a strong name. Will is fantastic.
Will's good. Billy Austin K just rips. I love that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an alcoholic who writes good poetry, you know?
Yeah.
And writes cool plays in the South.
Billy Bob Thornton did a fantastic job. She goes, no, you're stretching.
No.
He goes, "Have you seen those new T-Mobile commercials?" Yeah. He had a friend said that the reception sucked, his words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, but so is that a fight when you call him Billy?
Yes.
She'll go, "Don't do that."
She's like, "Don't do that." And, you know, but I'm bigger, so I can do what I want.
Sure. Also, I would imagine, I don't know what it's like to have a dad. Yeah. I'd imagine it's pretty cool when your dad has a name for you. That is a, you know what I mean? Where he goes like, "Hey, what's up, Billy?" Like when you see him, when he's like going to be a teenager, you're like, "Billy, come here." And then you go, "Well, that's dad talk."
Yeah. Where, like my uncle Tony calls my cousin Nolan Joe.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah.
He goes, "Hey, Joe." I love that. I think it's so cool.
I had a friend growing up, his name is Johnny. Mm-hmm. They call him Bugsy.
I love
that. No idea why.
Yeah.
He was so cool. When you'd be at his house, his dad would be like, "Bugs, come downstairs." And you're like, "Yeah, Bugsy. What? That's such a cool name."
Yeah.
My mom was like, "Daniel."
Yeah. And you go,
yeah. So biblical.
Yeah, I guess I'll just go be an accountant.
Yeah.
Well, you have sex with women.
When I was young, my mom was like, when I was like 5 or 6 years old, we were driving somewhere, and my mom was like, "Can I call you Danny?" And I went, "Can I call you Trish?" She went, "All right."
And she was like, "That is so nice." How old were you?
I was like 5 or 6 years old. Because my dad's family, my grandma and my aunt and my dad, dad didn't, but my grandma and my aunt would call me Danny. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell them to fuck off.
No.
So like, maybe if you get Pete to call him Billy.
He won't, because he found out that that's what Molly wants. He wants him, and what Molly wants him to be William. So
he calls him William.
So he's like, "Well, Graham, we should do what Molly wants. You can't break up with Molly."
No.
You can't.
But
simply can't.
Simply can't. He goes, "So damn, because that was my way out of it." But he's
"You don't want Molly to leave you," he'll say. Like on speakerphone, I'll be like,
"Hey, chill, bro."
She'll be like walking around like, what happened?
And you go, "Nothing. Nothing. He says he's worried I sex you too good."
Yeah. Yeah. You need a break.
The story about, you tell a story in your special, and again, go watch the special, Pete and me, about him loving big tits. Mm-hmm. When did you learn that? When was that discovered that, hey, Pete's going to yell out tatas? Or what does he scream out?
Hoo-hoos.
Hoo-hoos.
From the movie, he got hoo-hoos from Dude, Where's My Car with Ashton Kutcher.
Shout out.
That's one of his favorite films.
I mean, you know what? They had to write it for somebody.
Yeah.
And they wrote
14-year-old autistic boy. They
wrote it for a 14-year-old.
"This shall be my canon."
They're in the writer's room with all the things on the wall. And they go, "We're writing this for a 14-year-old boy with autism."
Yeah.
And then they go, "That explains everything."
That explains.
You know what? All your jokes make sense now. Fantastic.
We will still do, like, there's a scene which no one remembers but Peter and me where he's like, on the back, one guy said, Stifler says "dude," the other guy says "sweet." They get tattoos. Yeah. He goes, "What does yours say, dude? What does yours say, sweet? No, what does yours say?" It's like so a who's on first.
Yeah. It's for stoners.
Yeah.
It's a who's on first.
And Peter, it's just, Pete has trouble getting a lot of like modern comedy, but he gets that. It's like, he understands why that's a joke.
Great.
And so he loves when, like, we can just do it.
How much would it break your heart if he got crowd work? Like if he saw a clip and you go, "No, Peter, I don't need you understanding that." And he goes, "But find out what they do for a living."
Yeah, yeah. And if they get up, are they taking a shit?
Yeah. Also, ask the person next to him if they fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the second date. I think that would be nice.
Guys, back in my glass wearing era, you remember it. Up until 2017, maybe, I believe, when I got the laser eyes. But guess what? Laser eyes are fading. and it might be time to look into glasses sooner than later. Enter Warby Parker back into my life. Back when I had to wear glasses, I'd go to Warby Parker because you can get the exam in the back of the store, and then they have your prescription right there. You go in the front, pick an awesome pair of glasses, done and done. That's what I liked about it. You just go get some nice glasses right there in the store. You can even get sunglasses with your prescription in it, and then you can come back and pick them up. And the prescription glasses start at $95. So you actually get quality and stylish frames. Very affordable price. They do eye exam, glasses, contacts, sunglasses. You know, you don't have to go to one place and then the other to get it all done. You can go just to a Warby Parker store and get your prescription. You can get your sunglasses and your, maybe even your readers. Oh man, I'm gonna have to go get readers there, aren't I? Oh, it's happening. Right now, buy one pair of glasses, get 20% off any additional pair at warbyparker.com/soder. That's 20% off any additional pairs when you purchase one pair at warbyparker.com/soder. As you know, I'd like to think that as the audience, you're aging with me. I'm in my 40s, you know, got to start thinking about life insurance. Got to start being like, hey, how do I take care of the people around me? Well, it's a hard thing to find. You know, you can get a quote in seconds. All you got to do is go to Ethos. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, 100% online. Like I said, you can go get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, get same day coverage. No medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions and you can get up to $3 million. You can get up to $3 million in coverage, and the same policies are as low as $30 a month. And you'll get your lowest rate from their network of trusted carriers. Listen, that whole life insurance world, very scary, and I don't know a lot about it. That's why you use Ethos to help you through it. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/soder. That's ETHOS.com/soder. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Trustpilot rating as of 6/1/2025. Has he been overly critical of your stand-up your whole career?
I don't think he really understands what's going on. He likes to go and he likes that everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
He thinks that's cool. What he does is his special needs group, they like organize things on Fridays to go out and hang out. They'll go to a restaurant. Sometimes they'll go to Absolute Comedy Club or Yuck Yucks in Ottawa. And then he'll stand in the back. And, I'll be in New York or wherever on the road somewhere. And he'll go to the headliner at the end.
Oh, boy.
And he'll be like, he'll walk right up to them. And he's big. My brother's like 6'3", 250. And he'll walk
and
up.
And again, and I mean this as a compliment, on site you would not quickly.
Yeah,
maybe sure. Conversation, you can see it. But you watch some like quick clips of you two together, and you go,
"Yeah, okay, yeah."
Which one? Which one has it?
And he walks right. Yeah,
I watch you guys talking. Go, which one again? It's like they're like twins. Which one is? I don't know which one has it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dan. I don't know why you would say such a thing.
But he'll go up to the headliner immediately after,
and he'll walk right up to them and like invade their personal space and be like, "My brother's Graham K. Look at this." And then he'll point at his groin, and then he'll pull out his Spider-Man belt buckle. And so people will be like, ah! Yeah.
It's just, also effective.
Yeah.
Also effective because they go, who's Graham K?
Yeah.
And is he related to Spider-Man?
Yeah. I like how nobody knows who I am.
Have you ever had anybody that goes?
Every second weekend, I'll get a message from a guy I kind of know being like, dude, your brother just walked up me. They'll like figure it out.
That is great. There is also something I will say to be on the wrong side of a special needs group outing is when they don't inform don't inform the comedian. And you're up there you go, what are you moaning about?
Yeah.
And you can't see because of the light. Dude. You're like, what's your problem? Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
You just have to turn off leave and turn off the lights.
Dude, Shane has like one of my favorite stories about that at Magoobies in Timonium. It was right when he was doing the Special Olympics joke.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the closer. God. And it was when he started headlining. Yeah. So it's in the middle of his act.
Yeah.
Because you want to have big, bits throughout your act. And he said, he was like doing that and it was getting like this weird reaction. And he's like, why are you guys being all fucking weird? And the lights are bright there.
Yeah.
And then someone went and got up to the bathroom and he like looked and he's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh my God, a whole table of special needs people. Yeah. And they did, but it's not his fault. You got to prep him.
100%. Yeah.
It's on the club to go, by the way.
Yeah.
Big that group.
That happened to me. I did my show and a bunch of special needs people came. It was like the whole audience. Like my brother's special group, like needs group came, and to support. And it's like, sure. this is for the brothers. This show's for the brothers.
Quit making it all about you.
And not,
you tell not, someone with autism to stop making it all about themselves.
And not black people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Them too.
And I'm not talking about. Yeah. They would have a different perspective on
listen,
your condition.
Listen, Jive Turkey.
But you really go
this
like.
This show's for the brothers.
Yeah, you go. This isn't for you. This is for the ones that, you know.
What was that accent? Was that my accent?
It was. I don't know what it was.
Was that an autistic Canadian accent?
I was trying.
Yeah.
I tried. I reached.
Yeah.
I've never been able to get a good Canadian
the
accent.
Hell?
I don't know. What the fuck? That's not how we speak in Ottawa.
Yeah.
But that it was, were they a good audience?
No. They're laughing at the wrong time.
That's almost like running with weights on.
Yeah.
Where you go, do the hour in front of the group. And you go, I'm just going to go crazy. And they go, but you'll learn.
Yeah.
The strength you'll gain from it. Going
or it will break you.
Yeah. After doing an hour about one topic, are you like, I'm cool never talking about that again?
Yes. That's kind of why I did it.
Was it fun to like...
I mean, I probably will talk about it again because more stuff will come up. But
it's your life.
I just... It was like this big thing. Like I've been doing comedy for 19 years and it's this big thing in the background I've never talked about the whole time.
Sure.
Because I didn't want anyone... to laugh the wrong way. Like I would jump into the audience and kill them and strangle them to death. Like watch the light leave their eyes and I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
And
honestly, I would tell you this. I've seen pictures and you can go back to the first episode Graham was on this podcast. He was an athletic man. He did time for a crime he did not commit.
Yeah.
He was put away.
Yeah.
The viral clip of yours on this podcast was from you getting locked up.
Yeah, that's right.
For spray painting.
That's right.
But
bad boy of comedy, a lot of people are calling me.
There's also a picture of you where you straight up look like Wolverine.
Yeah.
When you're like 18 years old and you're in military school.
Yeah.
You'd fuck some shit up. So if someone, you went in the audience, I don't doubt you would choke someone out.
I probably haven't been in a real fight in 20 years, but.
Yeah, but you know what? Someone laughs at your brother the wrong way.
Yeah.
And all that knowledge comes right. That's it your John right Wick dog
I got into
killing.
A lot of fights like from 16 to 24.
Yeah, those are dangerous times to fight.
There's a lot of tea.
Yeah. There's a lot of testosterone and a lot of opportunity to go to jail for hurting somebody.
Yeah.
Because that's when it does become a crime, is 18 years old. But also, I do feel like that is your thing that'll hulk you up. Like I said, that's your John Wick dog dying.
So, yeah.
Someone 100%. Making fun of your brother and you go, I'll stomp out this whole
Yeah. So I didn't want to like just talk about it because I was scared and I probably wasn't good enough for a lot of the time to figure out how to thread that needle where it's like aggrandizing him and making him seem cool, making him the hero of it, of the joke. And I finally figured out how to do that. And then I had like, you know how it is, like you have one bit, then you have two bit, then you have three bits.
Sure.
And then you're doing it on the road and you're like, I'm doing like half an hour about autism in my like 45-hour-long headline set.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of, people are coming up to me, like parents are coming up to me and crying after the show, being like, we have an autistic child. We were just coming to see comedy. We loved it, but it was a lot for us. We were trying to get away from it tonight and we couldn't. And that happened more than a few times.
Which isn't a reaction that you would expect where they go, hey, buddy. It's my whole life.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to come hear jokes about apps.
Yes.
Appetizers and mobile applications.
And mobile apps. Only those. Yeah. Apps are what we're looking for.
40 minutes of apps.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
And I want to eat some apps.
I want to eat some apps while I watch jokes about apps.
Yeah.
Did you, in that situation, do you feel like it's apologetic? What do you feel like? Because you go, well, fuck you. I'm doing jokes about my life.
I am apologetic, but I'm like, but not like, I'm sorry I did that. I'm like, sure. I totally understand that. That's my life. And they go, mm-hmm. But they're never angry. They're like, it's usually like a dad going,
do you ever have,
and then a mom going like, it was just, you know, I love my son. Now she's thinking about her brother or the other son or the other, you know, and it's just like a lot. And so anyway, I just was like, I'm writing more jokes about this. I can't do an hour of just only autism on the road. I'm not a big enough draw where I can do that. Half the audience, three quarters of the audience don't know me.
Yeah.
And they're just coming to see comedy. And then there's a guy talking about autism. So it needed to go to a specific place. It needed to become a thing, its own show. And like that's why I did like a...
It's wise. It was a wise move.
A one-man show. It's just stand-up, but I did a beginning, middle, and an end.
Man, I always hate when you go to what's previewed as a one-man show and you're watching it and you go, this is just stand-up. Mm-hmm. You go, this is just fucking stand-up.
Yeah.
This guy's just doing stand-up with AIDS.
Yeah.
Not the virus, the visual AIDS.
Dude, I went to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And
you did Fringe?
I did Fringe to like, you know, work, figure out how to do a one-man show, how to basically make a through line. And I know you did it,
but I did it, and I was like, everyone was in my head where they were like, you have to have a theme,
dog,
it's got to carry you through all the time. And then Ari Shaffir was like, do your hour, it's an hour that you're filming for HBO, run that hour.
100%.
My publicist, which is a very important part of Fringe, is what they tell you, is to hire the right publicist so you can get people to your shows. I knew nothing about the UK market. She was like, she didn't watch the act or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the first night, I didn't do well my first show.
No, what? Yeah, it's
didn't
the worst.
Go like the preview.
Fringe is the worst.
I liked it for different reasons.
Yeah.
But my preview show didn't go well.
Yeah.
I had an hour and it ended up being 46 minutes when I ran it that night. And it flop sweat or whatever. Yeah. And I'll just remember her. She was very nice but pushy woman. And I'm side stage after the show, and I'm like, that fucking sucked. I got a whole fucking month of this.
Yeah.
And she comes back, and she goes, you didn't tell me you was just doing stand-up. And I went, what? And she goes, you're doing just stand-up.
Yeah.
And I went, what am I supposed to do? And she goes, you're supposed to have a show. And then she left. It was the most dramatic.
Like a cape?
Yeah, she really did. She should have fucking.
A show.
And she went, you're supposed to have a show. And left. And I went, bitch, this is a show. But That was part of what annoyed me about Fringe. I go, y'all are just doing stand-up, but you got air in between your jokes.
It's all it is, dude. It's why, I mean, we can get into it, but it's like why British comedians aren't as good is because they can, it all, the cog in their wheel is Fringe shows.
Yeah.
And they have to turn over a new hour every year. And only 20-year comedians can do a new hour every year. So
I don't even think that. I think you need two or three.
Anytime you see like a famous person put out one a year, I mean, Nate's the only person I've seen do it. Not, I'm on only just saying that because he pays me, but like he can do it. But
Bill Burr did it. Louis did it.
Yeah.
Burr did it a couple times. Nate can do it. I can also, I will argue that you can't do it prolonged.
Nate's on a bit of a heater and that's, you know what
I mean? Oh my God. Yeah. We watched him last night at the Cellar and I'm like, I think he's number one. He's just like, I saw five bits and I was like, oh
yeah.
You're like watching, you go, oh, I got to go right.
Yeah, man.
But
sucks.
I do think what helps them doing the hour a year is the fact that it is somewhat emotional. It is somewhat using visual aids, videos, other things. You know what I mean? Like, taking stand up and going, we're not really doing stand up. And you go, well, we are.
Yeah.
That was the thing that annoyed me. I met so many great comedians over there from the UK, from Ireland, from fucking Canada, from Australia. You know, it pulls in people from Europe, from Switzerland and shit. Mm-hmm. I met all sorts of comics that I liked and had great conversations with. There was a couple, though, There were a couple that were pretty fucking insecure.
They're so...
And they were real quick to start talking shit about American comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not an American.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, bitch. Yeah. If we're getting into this, we fucking smoke you.
Yeah.
There's like those after parties. Dude. So to explain to people that don't know about the Fringe Comedy Festival, it's a show with like... It's in Edinburgh, Scotland, and it takes over the whole city for the whole month of August or July. It's August, right?
Yeah.
It's August, and it's like... The whole month, you do a show every night, and there are fucking so many shows. There's people stabbing themselves in the balls with needles. There's people...
Like, as a show.
Not, as a show.
Not like, just a guy, but... Guy,
well, there's also too. A lot of guys.
Yeah, a lot of, those guys are there.
Opiates are a problem in Edinburgh as well. Yeah. And there's just, like, a bunch of shit going on where you can watch pretty much anything you want to. Mm. So the idea of doing just straight-up stand-up does look a little stiff or, like... Not corny, but just like, oh, you're not being artistic. It's like showing up to a Halloween party not dressed up.
Kind of,
That's what it feels like. And they're like, what are you? And you're like, I'm me. This is just what I do.
Yeah.
But I met a couple that really wanted to try to get me to go like, what you guys do is art. And I was like, I don't give a shit. We're mall clowns. You're talking to the wrong guy. Because I'm going like, well, in our country, you go against the Dave and Busters, not a trapeze artist.
Mm-hmm.
But this one Irish comic who I did not like, and I let it be known.
Good.
After this hang, I was like, hey, me and you are good. We don't need to talk. He was trying to get me to admit that he was like, you see, that's the difference between you Americans and us. Look at this. We're doing shows every night. Every night we get it ready for the year, and we do it every night. You aren't hustling like us. Yeah, and I go, we do this every night. We do multiple spots in the city every night. What are you talking about, stand up every night? And I got Sean Patton was the one that had to kind of like pull me away because I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, we don't do shows every night. I go,
this is you're making fun of an autistic brother. You just start strangling him. We do shows every night, but in the city.
In the city. In a big city. Yeah. In a big city.
A big American city with big fucking buildings.
With no castles.
Yeah, no just castles.
Empty penthouses. And I was really getting fucking hyped up to the point where Sean was like, I don't know if those after parties are a good idea for you.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't drinking. And honestly, I'll cut the guy some slack. He was like kind of drunk.
Yeah.
But that whole idea of like what got me ticked off is when he goes, see, that's what you Americans can't acknowledge is we do a new hour every year and you guys can't do that. And I go, no, we're better than you.
Yeah, we
because we work on it.
Yeah.
And we run an hour.
You never do an hour.
Yeah.
We do an hour every 2 years.
Yeah.
You do ours is you're all fart, no shit. You know what I mean?
It's an excellent way of putting it. It's an excellent way of putting it.
You know what I mean?
But there are, but then, to be fair, there are the acts you see over there where you go, that was fucking phenomenal. You watch an hour of it and you go.
Dude, I'm not trying to despair. I'm not trying to say like all these UK comics suck. There's phenomenal. It's a big place with a lot of talented people who are amazing.
But you talk to Daniel
and
Sloss.
And I like a lot of them.
But you talk to Daniel Sloss about it, and he's like, they're all full of shit. He's like the first one.
Yeah.
And you go, you're a fucking fantastic comic that does jokes. And he goes, and he's from Edinburgh. And he's like, all that shit's fucking...
It's just a bunch of new comedians doing misdirections thinking they're geniuses.
Yeah,
it's like the amount of like misdirections I would see on like hot shows at nighttime.
Yeah.
And being like, and I said, hey, mom...
And they go.
And they set up like a sex joke, but and you think it's like a girlfriend. You said, "Hey," and you're like, "Oh," and everyone goes, and the whole audience is like.
But then you also, what's fun is
like that meme where the guy's like,
and he does the, like the rap cipher. What was funny to me was like realizing that they don't like sex jokes the way we like sex jokes.
Well, they don't have sex.
Well, they do, but they're think they do hammered. It very like, I didn't really button up.
Yeah.
And I was doing the thing about...
I'll set for a good rogering.
And I was doing a joke about eating ass that's on my HBO special, and they were just like, no. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. That is how sailors would get sick.
Yeah.
It's like something like that, where they're like, no. That is how you die at sea.
That's how you get ruby eye.
But it really was a thing where you're like learning about audiences. So it's good you went and did that show because you really like realize.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely did help. And then maybe. And you do get the hang of it at the end of it, but you did make me feel more comfortable about silences because you're just you like
that's big.
One of the things that like I like, you know, I do clubs and I grew up doing clubs in the city here, and like I'm my whole thing is smashing, and you kill, and then you get off stage and no one really knows you or remembers who you are.
Yeah,
and then you watch like another comedian and they're really good, but like they're. They take their time a little bit, and
the jealousy I have.
And then the audience maybe doesn't laugh as much. They definitely don't laugh as much, but they know who that person is.
They also the impacts of those jokes.
Yes,
when they hit.
Yeah,
was something I had to learn.
Yeah,
I wish I would have learned that 10 years ago.
Same,
because to me, a comic that's comfortable with silence on stage mm-hmm. reminds me of the confidence of a man that's comfortable without his shirt. And yeah. I go, I'd kill for that.
Yeah. Who doesn't have a great body.
But it's like Ari.
Yeah.
He just takes his shirt off
yeah.
and walks around, and I go, I can't even. When I'm at Jay's pool in the privacy of his backyard, I go, you guys aren't looking. I take the shirt off, jump in the pool.
Everyone starts puking. Yeah. I didn't think it would look like that.
Liars, Nick yeah. doing that.
Yeah. yeah.
But you really understand the value. And especially from going to a place like Fringe where you go, oh, silences are also, you know, important for the act.
Yeah. And that turns out these British comics are better.
Turns out we've gone full circle on this podcast.
Yeah. No, why I brought it up is I forget why we were talking about this, but I went.
Oh, of running the show, of an actual making it into you and, you know, the story of your brother.
No, I think we were talking. I went to go see somebody else's show, like one of these.
Yeah.
Like for. Guys with needles in their balls, you know, yeah. and me and this other comedian, and we were sat at different places because we didn't go together, but we knew each other.
Sure.
And the guy, like classic one man show, and he's like, and then I threw the ball, and I cut the ball, and I like that Fred Armisen yeah. sketch, and then he's like. I used to listen. He had a record player behind him, and he's like, and I used to listen to my mom's records. Ooh, you know, and he was like, and I loved it. And then I went outside and I played football with my friends by the tracks, and I threw the ball. And then, he goes over to his stool, and the lights darken, and there's a spotlight on him, and he's sitting on the stool, and he turns around, and he goes, and then I was wrecked for 4 hours, and then everyone in the audience went. And then I look over at the other comedian, and we're both going,
yeah, because that is. I'm not gonna lie to you. That would fucking make me laugh.
We're just like
where you go, I can't. And there really is a thing, and I don't know what it is. Is yeah. it? I maybe we're desensitized in North America.
Something's wrong with me.
But you do go to a yeah. Fringe show, and they're yeah. like, I didn't realize having my genitals burned would mean. And you're like.
Yeah, it's like,
dude, come on! You can't fucking act like we're not gonna laugh at that. We're laughing at everything.
It's an awful thing that happened to you. If it happened, and I probably did, I'm so sorry. That's not why I'm laughing. It was the presentation. Dude,
can I?
It
tell
was 100% the presentation.
And we might. And, you might want to mark yeah. this because I have to clear this with Katie
yeah.
to see if I can tell the story or
yeah.
not. But we watch Jeopardy every night, and mm-hmm. there's a commercial for Shen Yun.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Chinese ballet. Yes.
Before communism.
Yes. It's the pro, mm-hmm. it's anti-communism, mm-hmm. pro-capitalism Chinese ballet. Mm-hmm. So Katie and I always would joke around about, Shen Yun's coming to town. Shen Yun. And for Christmas this year, we open our presents and we're sitting around and Katie goes, oh, I forgot. I have one more present for you. And she goes and busts out an envelope and she got us tickets to opening night of Shen Yun at like, why am I forgetting where it is?
Rockefeller Center?
No, not Rockefeller Center. What's the big?
Lincoln Center.
Lincoln Center. At Lincoln Center. And I'm like, yo, we're going to opening night at Lincoln Center. So, you know, we go. There are people there that take that very, very seriously. Like, I'm talking about Chinese people that might have lost their family to the current government that are like, yo, fuck that. I'm ready to see some classic Chinese ballet with a pro-capitalist spin. And there was a moment where they like talk about the religious side of it, where like God came down and they do this thing where the two people are dancing and then they like act like they're jumping into the screen, but they fall below the screen, but then they appear in the screen and then they fly around. And Katie and I had to fight a laugh that was so hard that we were pinching each other's legs because we were going like, to the point where it was, we left at intermission because we were laughing so hard that we were like, dude, this is just disrespectful. We just need to leave this thing. Yeah.
We saw it, you know.
But it was crazy. It was just such pure propaganda that it was so funny that we were like, but it was that thing of like, and then I was raped brutally for 4 hours. Yeah. We were like, hap, hap, it's happening. I'm about to laugh out of my... Dude, I could like feel the laugh trying to kick down my sinuses. The laugh was like, let me the fuck out. Dude, they jump onto the screen and then they fly around and you go like, dude, come on.
And under communism, we wouldn't be able to fly around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get in a chariot and they ride to Earth. Yeah. And you're like, dude, this is the best thing I've seen. So
I got to see Shen
Go see Shen Yun. Go see Shen Yun.
This is China before communism.
Yeah.
And then flying.
They do a thing where they're like, this stuff bad. It's just, it's phenomenal propaganda.
That's how'd you guys get dressed?
You're dressed up.
Yeah. In wear kimonos?
Listen, brother, that's Japanese. Learn your Chinese. Did we find the dance of the water sleeve beautiful?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Certainly.
So it was, funniest part is that there's these two presenters that come out and kind of tell you it. And there was a Chinese woman named Julie. I'm sure that was her name.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you feel when you go to a casino and you your name is Aubrey? Sure. But Julie and then this white guy. But the white guy, when setting up some of the things in Shen Yun, would speak in a way where you're like, did you babblefish this straight from Mandarin to English? Because you go, the next one is about a dance of a monkey. Monkey meets crane. Crane is wise. And I'm like, Katie can feel me be like, dude, why is he talking like this?
A white guy saying this?
Yeah. And he's going like, crane learns Taoism.
Yeah.
Crane learns Tao is powerful. Monkey now trains with master. And I was like, dude, why is he talking
why
like
are you talking? Yeah, dude,
like,
you're white.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I had to look up because I was like, why is he talking like this? He's like, I don't know, but it's about to break me.
My 2-month-old son's like, I get this.
Yeah, he's like, that's how I speak too.
Yeah,
dude, it was a tough go. So if you really want to test your power of your abdomen, go see Shen Yun. But I kind of like stuff like that because it makes me feel like back in school when you'd be laughing at a presentation with your friend. Those are the best laughs. Mm. When you're not allowed to laugh.
Yeah, it was the best. It was the worst and the best. And then we like went out and we just were like, hey, we had like a nice hang after.
Dude.
We like were friends for the rest of the fest because of that.
I won't give any names on this story because I don't want it coming back to me or Katie in a way. But we were at a family event. And we watched a drunk family member fall in a way that it took.
I'm already in. Let me tell you.
I cannot give any more information.
Yeah.
I will not say whose family it was. I will not say where it was. I will just say a drunk family member fell. And we had to go into the bathroom together. And I laughed in a way that I thought I was going to throw up. Because I was one of the only people that witnessed the fall, but Katie was with me, so she heard the thud.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, once we made sure the family member was all right, I was like, can you come with me into the bathroom? And I almost threw up. I was laughing so hard. Because those are the best laughs, where you go, come on.
Yeah.
The world would be a brighter place if you could just do that thing of like,
yeah.
Like if you and that comic would have laughed at that moment, instead of getting in trouble, if you would have gone like, come on.
Yeah.
And people would go like, all right, it was out of nowhere.
I think other people, maybe 5 other people would have laughed too, but it would have ruined the show and we would have been kicked out of Scotland.
But you and that group of 7 of you would have been a merry band of travelers. Today you guys would have been laughing.
That's the
hardest part is when you're at a quote unquote, I know it's like an art festival, but a comedy festival and they expect you to take something seriously and you go, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that to me.
Yeah.
So did you feel, did that influence the way you built the show, Pete and me?
That, watching that guy get
picked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you go, I don't want that moment. Because there's a moment where you go, Pete was trapped and alone. And you know, you could have done that. You could have hit the brakes on something serious. Your topic is very serious.
I think that I have that particular performer was trying to do something different than I was trying to do, and I think I have different taste than him.
Okay.
So I'll say it like that.
Very nice way of saying it. Yeah, that. What a Canadian way
of saying it. No, but it's a good question. Like, you don't want to get too, like, melancholy, and you don't want to get too corny in a way.
That's probably the best way of saying it, because that's how I felt, because at the time when I was doing my Fringe run, I had a large chunk about my dad dying of drinking, but the whole point of my joke was that this is going to be funny.
Yeah,
this is just going to be funny the whole way through.
Come along with me. Yeah,
and it's like, it's okay, you can laugh at it too, even if your dad's alive and doesn't like alcohol, just laugh at the joke. And there was this thing of like, you go to Fringe and they really want you to be like, make it sad as fuck. And
yeah,
like, I want the opposite.
It's like this weird thing where they want it to be like trauma porn.
Yeah,
and it's like, can we do it? I want this special to be happy and fun and silly and show that he's cool, and that if you have a brother with autism or a son with autism, your life is not ruined.
Sure,
and that is the point of this because everything I watched when I was a kid, when they were like, Peter has autism, watch this VHS tape about autism, made me want to blow my head off. You know what I mean? It's like, I want something that a 14-year-old kid in my shoes can watch.
Sure.
And be like, oh, it's going to be cool. It's going to be fun.
You know? Oh, I'm going to have a friend and a brother and everything. It's just, there's going to be some special things that we need to take care of.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. And I think that's like exactly what someone, you know, I like when people make shit for like past versions of themselves. Where I could have used this hour when I was 14. You know what I mean? Like, I think about that sometimes with my stand-up, where I go, I would have liked hearing that joke when I was 14 or 15 and my dad died, and being like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Why am I looking at it sad? He ripped. He drank. Fucking go Gary. You know? And you go, oh, that would, even though I know it maybe might not have solved what I was going through, it's just like there's a little alleviation.
Yeah.
Where you go, this feels fucking good. Now, do you
think that would make you feel good?
Yeah, if I would have seen that when I was younger.
Right after he died?
Yeah, I would have been like, oh, that's funny. Because I think with me, what stand-up did, especially when I was younger, was it taught me that like you can make fun of shit that I didn't think you could make fun of.
Yeah.
And that always blew me away.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh my God. I mean, you know, and I'm not going to say the words, but the Chris Rock, Bring the Pain, the Black People vs. N-Word bit.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What a joke. And you like see the construct of the joke and you're like, the comparison and you go, oh, that's brilliant. And I think that's why, like, that's part of the reason why I'm against making comedy for kids, because I think you're robbing them of...
Who's making comedy for kids?
There's just people that go like, you know, I love Nate, but Nate's like, kids should be able to watch stand-up. And I go, I agree with that, but I also think you shouldn't make jokes for kids.
No.
I think you should make jokes. My favorite part of stand-up was learning why it was funny.
Yes, and be like watching your dad or grown-ups laugh.
Oh, my God.
And then the moment when you're like 11-ish and you get it on the same level and you're like, I'm in.
Yes.
I'm like a grown-up.
I
love that feeling. I love that feeling. I still get it when I see grown-ups laughing.
But I would say that's part of my biggest problem with entertainment that's being made now is there. And listen, I'm talking about as someone that's developed shows, that's gone to the networks and heard what they're saying, and they go like, well, kids need to be able to watch this, and you go, I don't think that's true. I think there is stuff now, granted that's not everything that's being made, but in comedy there is a lot of people at networks, the big networks, that want like, well, kids got to be able to watch this, and you go, well, I want a kid to get in trouble for watching this.
Yes.
And not in an easy, dirty way of just dirty words, or they're just saying stuff like, I want a kid to go like, well, that's kind of an adult-themed thing. That's why I liked Mel Brooks so much.
Yeah.
Because it felt like I was listening to an adult conversation that maybe I wasn't supposed to understand.
Yeah.
And then it's what you said. It's when you did understand it that you're like, yo, this fucking rules.
It rules.
And it's the best.
I will say Nate's engine is... whatever he thinks is funny.
Sure.
But it's mostly about a kid can hear it and not be...
I'm fine.
And not have a parent go like, whoa, like have to have a weird, an uncomfortable... I don't know. So, I mean, it's not like we all have different styles, and his style just perfectly adheres to that.
That's what I'm saying. But he's like, just like perfect. He's just yeah. like perfectly funny and doesn't cuss.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also what I've always said about Nate. It's like finding out one of your favorite desserts is also has health benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you go, really? Yeah. I'm not an absolute piece of shit for liking this, but
yeah, he's a raspberry.
He is. You go, duh, I can eat so many of these.
Yeah.
Do you think Pete's going to now expect you to have jokes about him? Like the next hour, whatever it's about, if he sees it, he's like, hey, you fucking talk about me, bro.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think he cares.
That's also.
He does not care. He doesn't really. He'll be like, you're doing comedy? That's good.
Yeah.
One time he did ask me, he goes, hey, man, I'm going to do jokes about our relationship. You know, it's a show called Pete and Me. And he goes, are they nice jokes about me? And I go, yeah, they are nice jokes about you. And he goes, that's good. That's the only time he's ever asked anything about my stand-up.
Man, what if he called in and, you know, you're saying like he doesn't have the counting thing of autism or whatever. What if he calls you and you found out his autism was just breaking down jokes and he just annihilates you? He goes, hey, Bert, that's not a premise.
Yeah, hey, Bert.
That's just a thought you could write down. Yeah. You go, all right, well, let's chill the fuck out on that.
You're very wordy.
You call that a callback?
Yeah.
That's not a callback, Bert. Yeah. And you go, stop nailing me right now. I'm trying to get this hour out.
You know what? I don't like autism. I just hang up.
Feels to me like you should fucking move back in with mom and I should have that apartment.
Yeah.
Go watch it. It's fantastic.
Thanks, dude.
Pete and Me. The link is in the YouTube. Go watch Graham K.
Thanks.
You've seen him before on the show. He's hilarious and one of my oldest friends.
You're the best.
You're the best. And you're the best, Pete, if you're watching this.
I'll show him.
Probably won't, but go Spider-Man.
You won't watch it.